Okay, everybody ready for this? Fasten your seat belts. I don't know how the Lord talks to you, but the Lord speaks to me about 3 o'clock in the morning. He wakes me up with ideas, and he woke me up with an idea when Lola and Annie said they're going down this big trip. He said, I would never do a sermon again. He woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He says, yes, you will. He says, you're gonna do a sermon about the Last Supper. I'm not going to do that. So I told Lowell, because it does take, is a lot of work, does take a lot of time. It is hard. But I said, I'll do a sermon. And I'm glad he set me up for this week, because if I had the first week, it would have been a disaster. But anyway, I'm going to do a message about the Last Supper. And I see it more as Jesus' last will and testament more than the Last Supper. Okay, the Last Supper takes up 5 chapters of John, chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. You know, 6 hours on a Thursday night for 5 full chapters of John. And so it's crammed full of information, and it's, you know, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to be like a narrative Jesus speaking, because Jesus is speaking pretty much throughout the whole thing. So picture all of his disciples sitting there, and Jesus is going to be talking to his disciples, you know, and I'm going to, you know, follow, you know, the Last Supper, the chapters 13, 14, everything. So Jesus starts out and he with telling his disciples, guys, Satan is present here with us. You know, Satan is part of this plan, God's great plan. Satan is present to enter one of you to betray me. And of course we know that was Judas, and there's a prophecy in Zechariah 11:22 that said Jesus would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. So prophecy is starting to be filled already. They've been walking all over, their feet get dirty, so Jesus, displaying humility and servanthood, says, you know, starts to wash all the disciples' feet. And he gets to Peter, and Peter says, no way, Lord, you're not washing my feet. I should be washing your feet. You're our leader, you know. And so Jesus tells Peter, just calm down. He says, you know, I know you just want to speak all the time, but if I don't wash your feet, you don't even belong to me. He says, I'm teaching you about servanthood. I'm teaching you about humility, because one day you're going to be doing the same thing for your own disciples. So after that, they start the supper, okay? And Jesus, again, announces, you know, one of you guys is going to betray me, and I'm going to go off, you know, go off the Bible here a minute. He says, John, you know, bends over and says, Jesus, who is this going to betray you? And he says, we're eating this bread. He says, the next one, I dip my bread into the bowl, that's the one who will betray me. And he reaches over, dips his bread into Judas's bowl, and this is emphasis Dave, says, okay, Judas, Satan has entered you. It's your time to betray me. You're part of this great God's great plan. Go and do what you must very quickly. So Judas leaves, and so you know, is part of God's plan. Then Jesus starts to explain to his disciples, and he's done this 3 specific times before. You know, not in specific words or specific terms, but he told them 3 other times that I'm going to die, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be resurrected, and they never really got it. So he starts to explain to again, and so Peter pipes up again. Peter says, "But Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. Where are you going?" He says, "I want to come with you. I want to die with you." And again, Lord says, Peter, calm down. He says, you're not going to die with me. As a matter of fact, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me 3 times. Your heart's in the right place, but, you know, the flesh is very weak. So, and he tells all of his disciples, you know, my disciples, you will all desert me. You will all abandon me, you know. Because you will have fear for your lives. You'll be afraid of the, you know, the, the Jewish authorities, that they'll do to you what they're going to do to me. So you will all abandon me. Okay, and at this point, I've noticed the thing about the Last Supper is not mentioned in John, the eating of the bread and the cup. It's not mentioned. Matthew mentions it a little bit in his gospel, but it took Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:23 to actually say what happened. And these are the words we always hear for communion. And Paul wrote this, in 1 Corinthians 11:23. And what I love about Paul, he starts out many, many, many of his verses. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received directly from the Lord himself." So Paul, starts many, many, many verses like that. This is directly from the Lord. I heard this directly from the Lord. We all know that he was taken into heaven in 2 Corinthians 12. He said he was taken into heaven and taught things so much. So this could have happened, when he was in heaven. But he said, "On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup,'" and this is the crux of what the message is going to be for a little while, "'This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink of it. For the time you eat of this and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" So it's at this point that this is the part, I think this is God's last will and, Jesus' last will and testament. And I think, so this is pure paraphrasing, emphasis Dave for this. So I think he tells his disciples, I mentioned a new covenant. This new covenant, you guys are all going to start this new covenant. And this new covenant is going to be based on faith. People will be made right with God from now on based on faith. It'll be written, "It is by grace you have been saved through your faith, not of your good works, lest any person should boast." So in the old covenant, you guys had to go to Jerusalem every year. You had to sacrifice an animal. You had to be blessed by a priest and forgiven by a priest. But, and you had to do that year after year after year. But from now on, this new covenant will be, as it's written in Hebrews, once for all time. Okay, we can accept Christ through faith and trust in his faith and his death, his resurrection. So he tells his disciples this will be your new responsibility to spread this new covenant. And he tells Peter, "You will be the rock on which this new covenant is established." Right now, you're fearful and you're a coward, afraid of death for your life. But later, you will be bold, and you will pass on this new covenant. And later, you will be bold and courageous, and you will lead many, many thousands to believe in this new covenant, this new faith. These new believers will be called Christians. And then one day, on Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit will give you his power to be bold and courageous and give you the words to tell about my death, my resurrection, and my return. And on that day, 3,000 people will become new Christians and be the start of this new covenant. It will grow from there into vast numbers and spread all over the world because of what I'm leaving you the responsibility to do. This will be your responsibility. I'm leaving this to you to start this whole new covenant, to spread this new Christianity all over the world. But you will not be alone. There will be many, many others who will preach this good news to the world also. You, my disciples, will go in different areas of the world, start your own successful churches. But there's some bad news goes along with this. You will be persecuted. You will be killed by evil forces that will hate the message of this cross. Peter, so you guys will spread this new covenant, and you will be successful at it. But again, you'll be martyred. And another part I leave you, Peter, John, Matthew, you will write about me. And you will write, and these writings will be put into a new book called the New Testament of the Bible. John, your books will be very Holy Spirit inspired as you write after you will be boiled in oil and you'll be a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. 50 years from now, you're going to write 4 books of the Bible plus an astounding book called Revelations. And the Holy Spirit will come to you and in this cave where you're living on this Isle of Patmos, and he'll tell you astounding things. Just believe him and write it down. And of course, we know that John wrote John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Revelations. You know, again, Jesus didn't, this is what I perceive that Jesus told John during this Last Supper. And of course, we know that we have the New Testament, we have the Bible. It was all, predicated by Jesus giving these people, this is going to be your responsibility to write these things. You guys aren't writers now, but you will be writers. And John, you're going to write this one day. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life in heaven. And God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but he sent his Son into the world to save the world through him. This will be the foundation, what will be called salvation. You will not be alone in writing this Bible. There will be many others chosen and given special gifts, special words by the Holy Spirit. One will be a very, very clear miracle. A man most hateful of this new Christianity, this new sect. He's hateful, he'll be evil, he'll be a persecutor of Christians, but he will be miraculously converted and changed into a warrior for spreading the good news that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again from the dead, which will be the message of resurrection, which he'll preach. His name will be Saul of Tarsus. He will be called Paul, and he will spread the good news all over Asia, Turkey, Macedonia, Greece, Rome. He'll be a great warrior for spreading this new gospel. And he will write 13 letters that will become 13 books of this New Testament. He'll be the major writer of the New Testament. And he'll write letters to churches, his disciples like Titus. He'll write many things, and it'll all become part of this new book, which I'm leaving the responsibility of you guys to write. But again, Paul will be persecuted. He'll be martyred. He'll be beheaded by an evil Roman emperor named Nero. And Peter, you're going to get the same treatment from Nero. You too will be martyred by Nero. So I'm leaving you lots of bad news, but I'm leaving you a lot of great news also. And then Paul will actually have a follower named Luke, who will do an investigative report. He'll talk to people. He'll talk to Mary. He'll talk to people and get firsthand knowledge, firsthand words of. And he'll write a book called Luke, and that'll be a great, like an investigative report. And he'll also travel with Paul, and he'll write another book about the history of the spread of Christianity. It'll start out with my ascension into heaven, which you guys will be at when I leave this earth in 40 days. I'll go back to my Father. You'll be there with me, and Luke will write about that. He'll write about Pentecost, and he'll write about the spread of Christianity throughout the world. So Paul, Luke will follow you guys as writers of this Bible, and I think you guys are going to do a great job because you guys will be guided by the Holy Spirit. Right now, you're a bunch of cowards, and you're going to run away, and you're going to go back fishing, but you're going to be surprised what the Lord is going to do for you. So all of you and many others will be responsible to tell the world, and will spread that many, many generations will one day come to know Christ. That even one day, a church called Cleveland Drive Presbyterian Church will hear about this salvation and be part of this great, you know, this great Christianity worldwide. Let me thank you for it. So that's pretty much chapter 13. So he tells all, you know, tells his disciples again that, you know, right now you're fearful of your lives, that the same thing's going to happen to you that happens to me. But you will be responsible. I'm leaving you the responsibility of spreading Christianity and writing a new book. So in chapter 14, Jesus comforts them. Okay, so can you imagine the disciples at this point? What are you talking about? We can't possibly do that. We don't have no clue what? We don't know how to do that. We can't, you know. So Jesus tells them, calm down, guys. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry about this. You put your trust in God. Now put your trust in me. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. And if it weren't so, I would tell you plainly, it's the truth. And I'm going to go there and prepare a place for you. And if I do go there and prepare a place for you, I will come and get you. And when everything is right and ready and everything is just right, I will come and get you and take you to that home. And you will always be where I am. And at this point, he's just not talking to his disciples. He's talking to all of us. He's given us a great promise that he's coming again. The king is coming. He's coming again to take us home, to be in that home that he's preparing mansions for. He's gonna take us there also. He's not just talking to disciples at this point anymore. Chapter 13, he's just talking to disciples, but in 14, 15, 16, 17, he's talking about us. So he says, there are many mansions in my Father's home, and I'm going to go there and prepare a place for everyone who will ever be a Christian. And when everything is ready and fulfilled, I will return and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know to where I'm going. And, of course, that prompts up Thomas, who's always kind of a doubter, saying, Lord, we have no clue what you're talking about. We don't know where you're going. We don't know. So Jesus tells those great words in John 14:6. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, so hopefully they're starting to get it. Then Philip's he shouts out, but Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus says, anyone who sees me, you guys, have seen the Father. The Father and I are one. We are the same. All of the things I have told you have come directly from the Father. I'm speaking his words. And now I'm going back to the Father. And this is where he tells them how they're going to do what they're going to do. He says, okay, you guys are confused. Again, emphasis, Dave. You guys are confused. You don't have no clue what you're doing, will be doing. But there's going to be a great helper come along. I'm going back to the Father, but in these, again, words of Jesus. I'm going back to the Father, but he will send you the Holy Spirit. And he will never leave you. He will be living in you. He will be my advocate and lead you into all truth. He will lead you as you live your new lives of this new covenant. You'll be without me. He will change your lives. He will give you the words of truth as you tell others of my life, my death, my resurrection, my return as king. I tell you all these things now so that when they do happen, and they will happen, you will believe. And I will leave you with a great gift in this world. I will leave you with a great gift of peace. The peace I give you, even though you're going to have trials and tribulations and be martyred, this peace, you'll still have peace and joy through all this. And that's a promise, again, that we all have. We all have a promise of peace and joy in this world, even among our trials and tribulations. It says, the peace I give is pure, and the world cannot give this kind of peace. The world only gives trials and tribulations. And then he finishes chapter 15. He says, we don't have much time, so let us get going. Do the will of the Father who sent me for this time and this purpose. And in chapter 15, he goes on to tell his disciples that he's the grape, he's the vine, we are the branches. Now again, not only talking to his disciples, but talking to all of us. Jesus goes on to tell his disciples that he is the true grapevine, and his disciples are his branches. And because they have been pruned, they have been trained, they followed Jesus, they saw his works, they know what's coming from the Holy Spirit. God has given them the true pruning, and they will produce much, much fruit in their future work, you know, spreading this new covenant, spreading this new religion. He says they will be very successful because they will be connected with Christ through the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, he says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, and your joy will overflow. And in the second part of chapter 15, Jesus warns the world will hate you because of this message of Jesus and the cross. And of course, we can see that today. There's so much, you know, opposition to Christianity and so many antichrists. And we can see that he warned his disciples what happened. And I think he's, you know, warned us the same. He tells them they are no longer part of this world and its sin. That the world in general does not want to hear about sin and evil, and the disciples will be rejected and hated because of Jesus and the truth that sins can be forgiven by accepting Jesus' message that all sins can be forgiven. In chapter 16, he goes on, he kind of does a recap of chapters 13, 14, and 15. And Jesus' final words to his disciples, he tells them again, they will be persecuted. In verse 2, in 16:2, he says, you will be expelled from the synagogues, and a time is coming when even those who kill you think they are doing God a service. And then he tells them plainly, he is going back to the Father that sent them. And he tells them again, he will not leave them alone, but he will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give them power, courage, boldness that they definitely don't have now. In verse 16, he tells them plainly, in a little while you will see me no more. I will be crucified, dead and buried. But a little while after that, third day, you will see me again. The power of the Holy Spirit and God will resurrect me to a new life. And you will be witnesses to my resurrection. I will be with you for 40 days, appearing to you from various places and various times. In fact, I'll even help you catch 153 large fish on the Sea of Galilee after you guys ran away and went back fishing before the Holy Spirit comes and gives you this new power. But on a day in 40 days, you will all be with me as you see me ascend back to my Father in heaven. And I will sit on the right hand of God the Father Almighty in heaven. And then 10 days after that, and this is where you guys will receive your great power. And on 10 days after that is a day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you this power that, you know, that spread this new Christianity, to spread this new covenant. Right now, again, you guys have no clue what's coming, but the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will guide you in your new ministries, and you will be very successful because of him. He says, I have told you all these things in advance so that when they happen, you will not be surprised, and you will accept the future ministries with courage, peace, and joy. And in verse 29, the disciples finally, Lord, you're speaking plainly. Now we know what you're talking about. says, the disciples finally agree. At last, you are finally speaking plainly, and we finally understand what you are saying. For this, we believe you came from God, and everything you are saying will be just as you have told us. Chapter 17 is a whole prayer by God, and with time constraints, I won't read it right now, but there, just a portion. In 17, you read it yourself. It's a prayer. God prays all of chapter 17, and he prays for his disciples. He prays for himself. But let me tell you what he prays for us. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. So Jesus prayed for us at the Last Supper, and he knew that one day we would be here as followers of Jesus, being part of his new covenant, and all we have to do is have faith and trust in Christ, believe in his death, believe in his resurrection, and it says you will have eternal life. And again, the best part of it for me is chapter 14, 1. You know, if you trust in God, now put your trust in me. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. And I'm going to go there and prepare a place for you and you. I'm preparing a place for everyone. And when everything is ready at the right time, when at God's timing, I will come and take you to that home in heaven, that mansion. The King is coming, and he's coming for us. And he's promised us a home in heaven, eternal life, if we put that trust in Christ.